I'm Russ White for MSU Today. It's time for another school year at Michigan State University, and President Simon is looking forward to it.
Wow, you know, if you look across campus, I really want to compliment all the people who've worked so hard over the summer to make it physically ready for our students, as well as programmatically ready for our students. The Student Success Initiatives and neighborhood work just continues to get more and more intensity, more and more sophisticated, as we really use all of our information as Team MSU to make sure that every student who comes has an opportunity to be successful. And that's really part of the motivation for all of the Student Success Initiatives. I know that there's been some controversy around our push to have people take 15 credits. I was pleased that there was a national study just issued that reinforced our position based on the analysis of our students and those who come from various backgrounds and what gets them launched in a most successful time. And sometimes old school thinking is right and sometimes it's wrong. And in this case, it just is wrong based on all the data and all the analysis both here and elsewhere. And so we have to just convince people that that's an important thing to do.
President Simon is hoping to spur more civil discourse around difficult issues within Team MSU while the university develops more citizen scholars.
We open the school year, the academic year, with lots of issues swirling around us. One of the really great things about a university, if it meets its full mission, is really to have and sponsor, you know, civil discourse around difficult issues, and to do that in an environment where people are respected as individuals and they're heard as individuals. And that's always a challenge for us because we're in a soundbite world. Our students come from varieties of backgrounds and experiences. Nobody is going to know every student, their story, but each of us can take time to learn the stories of those students we encounter. Each of us can think about how we can welcome the students that we encounter, the individuals that we encounter, our new faculty, with a sense that they're part of Team MSU. And that's why using that phrase Team MSU is really important, because we're all part of that team and we're all different. We all play different roles, but we're all important to the success of individuals and the success of the collective. And how we talk about that, is important, but recognizing that we are also a community of 10,000 new people and returning students who have had different experiences since they last were on the campus of Michigan State. And they're bringing all that with them. And so they're different as well. They may not be new, but they're different because of those experiences. They've learned and grown in remarkable ways. And so we just have to sort of re-engage with people and also at the same time recognize that ideas are going to have rough edges, that if we really have the full discourse of ideas across whatever spectrum of people want to think about and explore and sort of push at ideas, not because they're initially right or wrong, but to really understand them in more nuanced form, and also then to understand how others might view things differently because of different contexts and different experiences. And it's not about coming out with an homogenous sort of doctrine. It's about coming out with citizen scholars who are able to lead public discourse about difficult issues and do that from a breadth of knowledge, a depth of knowledge, and a sense of their own self and how they are part of a broader community. And that's a difficult challenge, but it's one that universities have taken on for years, and as we have, with a very diverse population. And so I'm excited about how that's going to unfold for the year, recognizing that with every human enterprise, it will have its challenges. There will be mistakes. But ultimately, we have to learn and grow together.
President Simon says there are many physical and facility enhancements to the campus this year.
So if you think about facilities as representing ideas, not necessarily facilities as just a be-all and end-all of themselves, we're really excited about the facilities that when people come to campus, they're either going to see for the first time or going to be populated densely for the first time. And, you know, obviously with the football game as the first part of the season, the changes that have been made over near Spartan Stadium, new turf on the Ralph Young Field that will serve field hockey, but also serves other students as recreational space. And it's that "and" part that I'm really pleased when people see that, even though it has, you know, maybe a field hockey game when they come for a football game. The changes in the south end zone, I think, represent the "ands" as well of intercollegiate athletics being a part of the university, because it's an amenity for Spartan Stadium. You know, very simple things that have just made restrooms and other things more possible to be something that our guests for a football game would find easier to use. But they also turn around and let us use them for the campus for other kinds of events that might happen on Ralph Young Field. That include athletic events, but also include a lot of student events, walkathons, and those kinds of things that are over there now have better facilities. And it's that "and" part of the facility, I think, that also works. If you continue with the "ands," if you go over to 1855 Place, you'll see family housing and recreational space that we opened last year, but now student housing in 1, 2, and 4-bedroom apartments. There's a fitness center for the residents over there, our community kitchen. But also, you know, I think people are going to be excited about the marketplace. And I already know faculty and staff who are stopping by there on their way home to pick up something. Staff are going over there to grab a bite to eat that they can take away as opposed to going to one of the residence halls. And I think that whole complex, putting the university ticket office there for everything, not just for athletics, but for Wharton, so you can get a ticket for whatever you need in one stop, a great spirit shop. And then it'll be the when we finish in October, we'll be able to consolidate athletic leadership and the leadership of residence halls, hospitality food service together. And the synergies across those units in terms of thinking about the way we interact with the public, the way we interact with our students, I think it's going to just be remarkable synergy, not simply to get people together. And then when you think about academic facilities, there's a lot of, you know, we've just opened the new Department of sort of computational mathematics. Their new home will be in the renovated space in Anthony Hall. You know, we had a table full of new faculty, young, bright faculty. But the neat thing about that in terms of ANS is they're excited to be in a department where it doesn't matter what kind of problem you work on, but how you work on the problem. And most computational mathematics places put those folks within a problem, but they don't get to interact with other people who are worrying about how to approach those. And now they're all together. They're excited about the opportunity to learn from one another. They're excited about the opportunity about getting a different perspective about how you work at a material science problem versus a biology problem or a genetics problem, whether it's animals, plants, or people. And they're really excited about the energy that will come from that new space that permits us to really launch in a full-blown way the new department. And then the Institute for Quantitative Health and Engineering, IQ, Chris Kontai came from Stanford last year. His job was to take an empty building and a new institute and begin to fill it with people from all across the world. And that's happening. And if you go to new faculty orientation, You'll see people who have come, established researchers, new researchers, to this idea of collaboration and interaction, where the building is simply a hub. It's not a defining structure for the institute. And it reaches over to Grand Rapids, and we'll be opening the new research building there in Grand Rapids. And there were researchers there who were making connections with researchers here, and really distinguished people, mostly in neuromuscular disease, women's health, that have been the strength of Grand Rapids. But that's going to evolve as we think about what to do with the rest of the space in Grand Rapids, and more company connections. That's going to happen here. And, you know, it's really exciting to see these pieces that have been in planning for a very, very long time sort of come to fruition. Then we'll be introducing the campus community, probably from the students' perspective, in a too slow a fashion. The Owen was renovated over the summer to really house an integrated behavioral health unit on behalf of our students. We've got some online tools that give us both, you know, 24-hour access for students, but also culturally sensitive across the range of languages and cultures that we have coming to Michigan State. And that really is a tremendous accomplishment, and it's the first step for the fuller rethink of student health. To make it much more applicable for our students for the 21st century. That goes along with the rethink of the health team and the reorganization of the health team, and also really thinking about how we can support students in sport, recreational, and more competitive sports, club sports, varsity sports, in a different way. And all that sort of coming together, that they've been ideas planted and thought about and groups working on them. And then we'll present to the community as well what is a very long-term plan for how to think about, in an and framework as opposed to an or framework, both facilities that support intercollegiate athletics as well as intramurals. And we've got a grand plan. It's, you know, bigger than a bread box. It won't be implemented immediately. But it's important to have that grand vision, that big plan, so that you know what's going to happen. In the same way that there's a companion building being planned for IQ over there that the board has approved for planning, and hopefully we can break ground yet this year. And we have generously received money from the state for a brand new approach to teaching and learning in the STEM areas, and that's in the planning stages, because we want it to be a building that doesn't look like any other building, because it really has to support teaching in a very, very different way. And that's where the hub comes in, a hub for teaching and learning and innovation that the provost launched last year. And I think you'll see, you know, the science gallery moving out, because we're the North American partner for that and other places. In a variety of ways. So there's a lot of energy, and some of it has all just sort of been there in the background, and it's neat that it's all coming, you know, together. And I'm really pleased and excited in talking to the faculty members who are going to be part of that, that they see the value of the low barriers and have come here from places that, you know, that you all would recognize as being some of the best in the world, to be a part of this sort of how to do things again, not because everybody does computational stuff, you know, but you want a special place where they think they can do things in a terrific way. And, you know, so that's really neat in ways that we think about our commitment across the state, as well as in East Lansing.
President Simon says the new Food at MSU initiative, being led by the College of Agriculture and Natural Resources, has MSU rethinking food more broadly and listening to consumers about how it impacts them and the planet.
Well, I think that people will always see us as the classic sort of experiment station doing work on how to fight a bug or really sophisticated plant genetics work. The Great Lakes Plant Research Lab was refunded. It's an extraordinary accomplishment in this time, and it extends a 25-year-old plus tradition about doing basic plant sciences, and it's funded by the Department of Energy. But people, it's not USDA work, it's Department of Energy work, very, very fundamental, that's developing new techniques, not just learning more about plants. And that's particularly important as you think about weather variability. As one farmer told me up north, I don't care what caused it, I have to worry about it. And my family's capacity to make a living depends on your capacity to figure out how to deal with it. And it's that simple. You know, I mean, there's a lot of debate about you know, all the issues and all the causes and all the practice. But you take it from a person's perspective out to the bigger world, he's right, you know. And we need Michigan to continue to be a leader in food and food production. It's a big part of our economy, and it'll be a bigger part of the world economy as you think about the challenges moving forward towards 2050. And we're a place that has to look at today for that farmer and worry about 2050. And it's and that means food is going to be critical. And we have then, thinking about the role of extension and being sure not just that people have food that fights lead and flint, but that they have a safe food supply and understand all of those kinds of issues. So the College of Agriculture and Natural Resources, under the leadership of Ron Henrich, the dean, has really been rethinking how we think about food broadly, and how we align food production, food processing, food safety, and the important voice of the consumer. So they're announcing the Food Inc., an approach that pulls all of those threads together into a tapestry that not just a dean can understand, or a president, or a provost, but that people can understand. And that people can believe that they have a role in shaping that tapestry for the future while we deal with today's issues. In Michigan and around the country, because food is a big issue here and around the world. And part of this is just stepping back and going back to that fundamental way in which land-grant traditions work, which is we're a partnership with a lot of people. And we may not always agree. I hope we don't, because that means we're listening to all people and not just slicing who we like to talk to. And that's important to move the society forward and move prosperity forward and move quality of life forward. And so Ron's going back to that, and that's part of this Food Inc. piece. It's part of his common table conversations we're going to have that bring people together. And if we can do that around food in Michigan, then we can do that around food and food issues for the world. And that's going to be, I think if you look at the role that oil has played in conflicts, food could play that role moving forward for the world if we're not careful. And we're just going to need to get out ahead of those issues. That means you have to look at water and making sure you have access to safe and water, because and that food doesn't contaminate water, and water supports food. And it's really an ecosystem that has to be carefully looked at.
Arts and culture continue to play an important role at MSU.
If I think about the year as well, I mean, I look at the schedule for the Wharton Center, and not only what will be here, and then opening the 18 season or closing the 17th season, depending on how you want to define it, with Hamilton will be really terrific, and the educational programs we can do. We just did Take It From the Top over the summer for kids with Broadway stars. We also did that in Traverse City because we're part of the Opera House there and bringing arts and culture to Traverse City. The partnership with Grand Rapids and the Wharton Center on Broadway is continuing to strengthen. and I'm really excited about that in terms of our, of the role that the Wharton Center is playing. The Broad Museum, under its new director, is beginning to get a good deal of momentum. We lost a bit with the untimely death of our founding director, and I think we're getting our feet back under the ground there. We have a new director of the MSU Museum that wants to reach out and do more things with arts and culture. There was an interesting discussion at faculty, that new faculty orientation, about bringing artwork from Africa, African-American artists, to the MSU building in Flint. So I think there's going to be another sort of push for outreach and engagement there. We're working, we remain working very closely with the cultural councils in South Africa, something that's extended for a very, very long time. And now not only did we work with the Mandela Museum and the Kathrada Museum, we're now working with the Tutu Foundation in ways to extend that partnership in arts and culture. And then I think if you look at the role of the residential colleges, the programs and activities through ARCA, Arts and Letters is launching a new land-grant scholar initiative to say how arts and culture plays an important role as a land-grant scholar in making a difference in quality of life in communities. And and if you just look at the programs that are offered through the School of Music or College of Music, it's impressive. The visiting artists, the access to culture that you can get in sometimes for free and sometimes for like $10. And that's really Broadway quality work. It's something you would see in Carnegie Hall, and it's right here available to people for nominal cost, if at all. And you just have to look at that entire constellation of activity, or the work that RCHA is doing with Peckham. I mean, the list just sort of goes on and on and on. And it's just there, and people sort of see the list and sort of take it for granted that the next year is going to have all of these things for them to do. And that's an extraordinary value of the university to the community. And it helps to attract people who want to be around a cultural asset as part of where they want to live, where they want to raise their families. And it's one of those things that's priceless. And doesn't show well in economic impact studies, but it's really priceless for developing the kind of community you want. And we've got great leadership, Chris Long in Arts and Letters, a new dean, Rachel Corson in Social Science, Steve Esquish has been here a long time, but has been the founding dean of Residential College for Arts and Humanities. Everybody's sort of pulling together and working together in ways that make this just, something we too often take for granted. But it's the envy of people who want to think about arts and culture and the availability of it for our community. And I just encourage our students to show up, and take advantage of it and get off their phone. I mean, it's not the same. I mean, I listen to stuff on my phone and I watch things on TV. But there's something about going to a performance and sharing it with others, and the electricity and an opportunity to talk with others about it and watch how people react to things and how you react to things, that gives you a sense of culture and context that you can't get by watching it on your phone. And so I'm not saying don't watch it on the phone, but also, it's a world of ands. Also show up and experience it in person. And this is a great place to do it.
As far as what else to expect this fall at MSU?
I think you'll see, as we, on the food front, I think we're going to be a bit clearer around the Detroit homecoming on all the things that we're doing in Detroit. I think people, when they begin to hear that list, sometimes don't believe that we're doing all those things in Detroit, or we have 40 people in Wayne County, most of whom are working in the city of Detroit. We've had for a long time, because when they see a building, they think about what only happens in the building and not the neighborhoods. And I think the issues of food are critical for urban environments, not just rural environments. And I think the work you'll see there as we think about an urban food learning and innovation center that not only deals with food but also with forestry and green things that will be important for the city as a beacon for learning, where work will happen that can go to any other city in the world, not just stay in Detroit. And hopefully we're going to do that groundbreaking in the fall as well and have a chance to talk about the importance of food. You know, things like the Children's Channel partnership with Detroit Public Television, that's just getting off the ground. You do those announcements, you know, and we're sort of getting our feet under the ground, and you'll see more and more programming about that, which I'm excited about. And I'm excited because I can't predict the discoveries that are going to happen by faculty who are just doing extraordinary things. So, you know, it's going to be a very, very good year. And, you know, I remain optimistic about athletics as well. I think we have the right people leading the programs. We had a bump in the road. We're getting over that. People are learning from it. You wish it wouldn't happen. We all wish it, things don't happen. But, you know, sometimes your medal is determined by how you handle bad things. And I think at the end of the year we'll show that we move through this rough patch and are gaining momentum again. And then how can you not be excited about basketball?
Keep up with Michigan State University President Luana K. Simon at president.msu.edu. I'm Russ White for MSU Today.